Doing the last part this morning, guys, in our City on the Hill series, part 6. Just based in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And kind of this is the most important part, really, because this is like the whole point of, not just the whole goal and the whole point of this passage, but essentially it's the whole point and the whole goal of everything. We looked at like the fact that we're the light of the world, that we're a city set on a hill, we're people that were saved for a purpose. We've looked at the fact that we weren't saved to sort of like hide our light under a basket, but rather to sort of lift up Jesus in our lives and all we do. Last week we spent best part of 45 minutes looking at what kind of lifestyle that we're meant to live, because we're meant to let our light shine before others so they can see Jesus in us. And then just the last couple of words in Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. This is what we're going to look at this morning, and it's the whole point of shining for Jesus, the whole point of like living for Jesus, the whole point of people seeing Jesus in us, is that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. I find that a really weird concept. Like, how do you give glory to God? Because, like, you know, at the moment we got this kind of fuel strike thing going on up in Scotland, and so like everyone's like panicked buying all this fuel because it's like, oh no, we're going to run out. Like, how do you give glory to God? Is like God having some sort of identity crisis in heaven, saying, ah, I'm running out of glory, could someone lend me a bit of glory because I'm running out, you know? And you know, when it says give glory to your Father in heaven, it's not that we're giving him something that he hasn't already got. We're not giving him more glory. He's like, you know, to understand what it means to give glory to God, we just got to understand who God is and what God's actually like. And it doesn't mean that like we're giving God, you know, something which, you know, he's craving or he's lacking. It's more like recognizing in God and giving him his dues. You know, like if you go to like, I don't know, a museum and you see a work of art on the wall and you just go, that is amazing. Whoever painted that, they are a seriously talented artist to paint something like that. Or you go to a building and you just see this incredible building and you're like, that architect, he deserves a knighthood because that's just an incredible thing. You know, or you know, maybe you listen to a piece of music and you're like, I've never heard music like that in my life. You know, that's just absolutely outstanding. Whoever wrote that music, you know, fair play to him. And giving glory to God isn't us saying, God, I have something which I've got which you really need. It's more recognizing that God does, you know, God is worthy of being praised and being glorified because of who he is and because of what he's done. I mean, God is the altogether glorious one. I mean, the Bible, I you know, as soon as you start looking at words like glory and the concordance in the back of a Bible, you could be here till Christmas, because there's so many references to just how glorious God is. And like, you know, before we look at what it means to give glory to God, I just thought it'd be good just to have a look at like, you know, just how amazingly glorious God is. I mean, in the Old Testament especially, you hear references to glory being the actual substance, the nature of God, and you see God appearing like, you know, on top of Mount Sinai in like in a cloud of fire essentially, and it's like where the Shekinah presence of God, like the Shekinah glory of God, was like, it was just like when God was there, that was God. And you know, Moses said to God once, because he was feeling a little bit overconfident, he said, God, show me your glory. And God basically said to Moses, look, you can't see my glory as in my Shekinah glory, as in the full reality of who I am, because no one can see that and live to tell the story. You know, God is so like bright and glorious and holy and just like, wow, just so immense, that there's no way that we can see him in you know, as he is and live. And so like Moses had to settle for like being hidden in a rock and seeing the back of his head as he walked past. And even then, it was a bit, I'm sure it was a bit of a scary sort of experience for him. But like, you know, you can't, you know, and so you can't see God in his full Shekinah glory, because he is just so like, he's an all-consuming fire. I mean, sometimes I think we've got a real small view of God, but God is glorious. Like, not glorious like, you know, oh, what a glorious goal, as you hear like on Match of the Day occasionally, but like glorious as in, if I actually saw him in the fullness of who he is, I just drop dead. You know, the Apostle Paul saw Jesus in his full glory, and God was gracious to him. He just fell to the floor blind. He didn't die, but he certainly, you know, when you encounter God in his glory, he's just incredible. And like, God isn't just glorious in his Shekinah presence. God is also glorious in just his character, who he is. Like, he is just, you know, he is good, he is kind, he's merciful, he's loving, and all that is his glory. You know, and like, you know, there's so many references to God's glory being in his nature. You know, he is just an amazing, amazing person. And so it says here that the whole point of us living for Jesus and shining for Jesus is that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. A whole number of hundreds of years ago, I think it was the 17th century, a bunch of Christian people got together in Westminster in London, and they decided they were going to try and get down on paper what the whole point of life is and what being Christian, was all about. And they came up with this thing called the Westminster, or the shorter Westminster Catechism, which is a mouthful of basically saying what's it all about. That's basically what it was. And the very first thing, the very first thing was, what is the chief end of man? Or in other words, what is the whole point of life? What are we here for? There's so many people on Trevethan right now and across this world who haven't got a clue what they're here for. They literally don't know what they get out of bed for in the mornings. Like they don't know what the reason of life is. And like you know, especially like young people. They, you know, like in Bridgend, we're seeing so many suicides right now. Young people who don't know what the point of life is. What is the point of living? Life is painful. Life is hard. Life hurts. Sack it. What's the point? And like the first question that was answered in the Westminster Catechism was, what is the chief end of man? What is the point of life? And this is the answer they came up with. It's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's what we're on this planet to do. God put us here to glorify him. As I said, not to give him something that he hasn't got, but just to know him and to sort of like just be in awe of him and enjoy him forever. So like, you know, when God made Adam and Eve, and when God made the world, he made the world and he made people to give him glory. I mean, we see it all the way through, like all the way through the Bible. I'm just going to look at a couple of things this morning, but I got 2 points this morning, that's it. We were made to glorify God, and we were saved to glorify God. And like, we were made to glorify God. I mean, Adam and Eve used to, like, you know, walk in, you know, in the garden with God. They enjoyed the company of God, and like, you know, they saw God as he was, because sin hadn't come into the world, and it was like awesome, you know. And like, you know, it wasn't just people that God made to glorify him. We read in let me just get this right reference in Psalm number, where is this? Oh, I've lost my, oh yeah, in Psalm 19 verse 1, check this out. I mean there's just some amazing scriptures on this whole thing. But the heavens, the stars, declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Like, when you look at the stars in the sky, they're not just there to be all twinkly twinkly. They're there to make God look good, to make God look glorious, for us to get just a glimpse of like how amazing God is. God made the stars to make us go, wow. Because if we can look at a work of art and go, wow, that artist must be pretty cool. God has done it on a much more impressive scale. He didn't paint a picture. He made a billion upon a billion stars that shine every night, so we can look up and go, now that's impressive. Whoever did that, fair play to him. Credit where it's due. God, you are glorious. And it wasn't just the stars. I mean, Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees God, you know, in the temple, in his glory, first of all, he says, you know, I'm stuffed because I'm a man of unclean lips and I've just seen the Lord of hosts. I'm dead meat. But like, there's angels there in the presence of God, and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. In other words, it's not, you haven't just got to look a billion and billions of miles up at the stars to see how awesome God is. All you got to do is open your eyes around the world right now, and there's so many ways that even in this messed up world you can see how amazing God is. Have you ever seen a mountain which is like, I mean, these aren't mountains, these are hills. I mean, you go, you look across the valley, it's like, no way, it's a mountain. When you've grown up, you know, when you've spent like the last 12 years in Cardiff, that's impressive. That's a mountain to me. It's like, whoa. If you cycle to the top of that, you know, you're close to a cardiac arrest. That's a mountain. But then I went to Snowdon a few weeks ago, and you see Snowdon, and that's like 10 times bigger. You know, it's just massive, and there's snow on the peaks. It's like, no, that's a mountain. And then you look at Snowdon next to Mount Everest, and Snowdon looks like a jolly molehill. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, you know, that's even more impressive. Oh, it's Uncle Keith is coming in. For the purposes of the tape, Uncle Keith Foley is now entering the building. Fantastic. Where were we at? Mountains. Yeah, like, and so You look at mountains and you're like, whoever made that is just absolutely incredible. And one of the things that I love doing is I love watching them programs on BBC where you see all the mad animals that like are in this world. You know, like, you know, we've seen all the lions and tigers and giraffes and stuff, and they're cool. But now they're sending cameras to the bottom of the sea, and we're meeting all these like weird creatures that like we've never seen before. And they're just incredible. And like, you know, what I love is that so many of these people that do these nature programs are doing it, saying, "Isn't evolution great? Isn't it wonderful? How many billions of years these creatures have been evolving?" I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, nah, God is awesome. He created every single one of these. He knows why spiders have 8 legs and flies have 6 legs. I don't know why that is, but that's like the difference between an insect and an arachnid. That's not like evolution. That's just because God decided you need 6 legs, you need 8 legs. He made my dog. Not the most glorious thing he's ever made, I must admit, but he made my dog. And you know, he made animals, he made creatures, he made gravity, he made oxygen, he made trees so that they give out oxygen and then they absorb carbon dioxide. Is it monoxide or dioxide? Dioxide, yeah, the stuff that if they didn't, we'd be dead, that stuff. And like, God made that. And you know, you look at the, like, there's every single cloud you ever look at, there's never going to be a cloud the same shape ever again. Every sunset or sunrise you ever see, it's never going to be the same again, because every day God is just making glorious stuff for us to just look at and go, wow, that's amazing. And I find it really helpful to try and find every day, just to, you know, and up here, when I walk my dog and I look, because when there's a sunrise in Trevethin, there's a sunrise. And I take my dog out 6 or 7 in the morning and I see the sun coming up and I'm just like, yes. But I'm just so glad that as a Christian, I haven't got to go, what a nice fluke. Isn't it great how a load of gas has created a world like that? You know, I mean, the only gas explosion I believe in is the amount of gas all these scientists are chatting, to be honest with you, because that's God saying, check me out. God is the only being in the universe that's got the right to say, look how great I am. Because he's the only one who is eternally, permanently, just like pure. And he can say, look how great I am, because he is. He's powerful, he's beautiful, he's majestic. He's just like, he's God. And he's given us so, even in this messed up world that we live in, guys, he's given us all these different things to look at and to see, you know, and all the different, like, just cultures and skin colors and languages and flavors and food and just sights and smells that he's given us in this world. It's all about us looking at that and not saying, oh, that's nice, but it's looking at that and saying, wow, whoever made that is worthy of praise. And that's what giving glory is all about. So we were made to give glory to God, and the chief end of man is to like live a life that says, thank you God, you rock, you're amazing. But something went wrong, didn't it? Sin came into the world. You know, you all know the story, Genesis chapter 3. And sin came into the world, and like what God had made, this beautiful world, this perfect world where he wanted us to give him glory, like Michelle said in the worship time earlier, we basically said, no thanks God, we'd rather give ourselves glory. We'd rather look at ourselves and live a life that makes us look good and that it's all about us, and like check me out rather than check him out. And I think that's, if you want my definition of sin for this morning, is that we should be saying check God out, but because of sin, our lives say check me out. And all our decisions, all our motives, everything about us is saying it's all about me. And actually it should all be about God, you know? So we were made to give glory to God, but it went horribly wrong. So God said, well, I'm not content to be robbed of the glory that I'm due. I'm not content to just let people sort of like destroy themselves while trying to glorify themselves. So he decided to do something about it. And he sent Jesus. Now, this is an incredible passage in Hebrews. Hebrews is one of those books in the Bible that you very rarely hear preached on a lot. You just hear people like quoting 1 or 2 verses from it because it's just such an incredibly big and deep book. So I'm just going to quote from a couple of verses from it. But the very beginning of Hebrews, all right? God sent Jesus to restore glory. God sent Jesus to make it possible for us to be able to give glory the way we were created to. So it says in the first verse in Hebrews, and I'll just read the first 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And God said, you want to see my glory? You can't see my glory, my full Shekinah glory, because you'll be dead. But I'm going to send you Jesus, so you just get to see what the glory of God is actually all about. And Jesus stepped into this world, God with skin on his face, the exact image, the exact replication of everything that God is about. And he came to be the manifest glory of God in this world. In John chapter 1, I love this verse as well. It was one of my favorite verses in the Bible at the moment. John chapter 1, verse 14, says, "The Word became flesh," that's Jesus, "and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And like, when you look at Jesus, you see God. And Jesus came not just to say, this is what you should be like, this is how things should be, but he came to die on a cross for our sins. And he came to put things right. He came to rise in power so that we can, by the power of his Holy Spirit, be raised to new life, where all of a sudden we can now have a relationship with God, and we're no longer obsessed by ourselves anymore, but we're able to glorify God as we were originally intended. Now, we're not very good at it, because this thing called sin still has a habit of coming into our lives and really getting in the way. But now, because I'm a Christian, because now Jesus has restored my relationship with God, now I know him, I can live like I was actually intended. And you know, that's what this world needs. That's what Trevethan needs. It doesn't need more money. It doesn't need more jobs. It doesn't need more playgrounds. It doesn't need, you know, more provision. What it needs is to get connected to God and learn that actually life is all about him. And when you're giving glory to him, you're alive. When you're giving glory to God, no matter what your circumstances or situation, you are living like God intended you to live. And there's freedom in that. Which is why you can be in countries of the world where they got poverty and crime and just like AIDS and just like, you know, just abject trouble, war, but people can go through life with a smile on their face because they know God and they give glory to God regardless of their situations, and so they're living as God intended them to live. You know, I mean, I think in this world we just kind of totally missed the point of what it is that we're on this planet to do. It's like if someone like bought you a Ferrari, and they said, "Here you are, here's your Ferrari." You're like, "Oh, nice one." And you invite your friends over, "Come and check out this car, it's amazing." And you open the door, you say, "Look at it. It's got a really cool ashtray in it. Look." And so all you have used a Ferrari for is to sit in your car and just like press the ashtray button. And you're like, "Well, let's go for a drive, innit? No, I'll check this out." In my car, in my Mondeo, I've got this cup holder, and you press it and it goes, and I love it. So like, you know, I'm just like, you know, whenever I got a new person in my car, it's like, just press that button. And it's cool, but that's not what the car is for. Do you know what I mean? Like, the car is for driving places. And if someone bought me a Ferrari, the Ferrari has been designed to be seriously fast and look incredibly cool. And so you wouldn't say to your friends, "Come and check out my cup holder or my ashtray." You'd be, "Jump in the passenger seat, we're going for a spin," because that's what this car is about. But for some reason, this world has settled for just pressing the button. Like, that's what we're here for. Well, we'll make do with the ashtray, or we'll make do with a cup holder. And God's like, "You're totally missing the point of what you got a life for. You got a life to be lived. Don't just settle for like sitting in the Ferrari outside your house, pressing a little button and thinking that you've experienced the fullness of the Ferrari. You haven't experienced the fullness of the Ferrari. You best get on the Eurostar, go across to Germany, go on them autobahns where there's no speed limit, and find out what a Ferrari is for." Isn't it? It's just blatant. But like, you know, guys, that's what God has given us his life for. He's given us his life to live. And when we give glory to God, we're living. And like this passage in Matthew 5, you know, this isn't just about us living. And this is like, you know, why I'm so encouraged by what Danny's going to share with us in a minute, because this is what the whole point of our lives is about. Okay, let me just read it to you again. That others may see our good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, we're meant to live to plug people into God so that then they become worshippers of God, so that they give glory to God. See, if we're Christians, we're now able to give glory to God. But if we just sit in our little glory bubble and just want to keep that to ourselves, we're missing the point. You know, God, you know, it says in John 4 that the Father is seeking worshippers. He's looking for people who are going to give him his dues. He's looking for people who are willing to turn their eyes off themselves and say, "All right, God, it's all about you. I love you. Thank you." And they worship God because of who he is, just the awesome God, and because of what he's done. He came to save him, he died to save him, and he rose to save him. And like, we have the privilege, guys, up here in Trevethan, or you know, wherever we live, we have the privilege of not just being able to give glory to God and live the Ferrari life that we were meant to live, but to say to other people,
Here's the keys. You have a go. Because this isn't just something for me. This is something for you. This is something where, you know, you can know God. You can live, you know, life as it was meant to be lived. You can enjoy God. You can like have that relationship where all of a sudden there's liberty in being able to look at a sunrise and say, I know the guy who did that. There's a liberty to be able to look at the world with a totally new set of eyes and just see God everywhere, working, showing off, just being glorious. And you can say to your mates, you know what? I didn't used to get it, but now I get it. You know, Snowden's not just a big mountain. Snowden is a very big advert to Wales about how big God is. You know, that's what we're on this planet to do. And like, that's the whole point of what we've been looking at. And that's what the whole point of this church is. You know, I believe that the biggest thing that God has done in this world to show off isn't the stars. And it isn't the mountains. And it isn't the trees. And it's not Ferraris. It's people. He made people to be walking, talking, glorifying adverts of him. And he saved us to show him off. In our lives, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in the things that we do, in the words that we speak. He wants people to look at us and see, God looks good in you. He's done that really well. What God has done in you, there's no way that's a fluke. That's not cosmic science. That's just like that. That's salvation. And that's what we're saved to do, guys. And that's my prayer for Hill City Church. My prayer is that we don't just like enjoy giving him glory, just me and him, but we get hungry for more worshippers, for more people to see Jesus in us and through us, and that they would like come into a relationship with him, and that they would say, Lord, you are amazing. And they would give him the praise and the glory that he is due. And he's due it, and he's going to get it, do you know what I mean? I'm just going to encourage you with a few words from Revelation at the end, you know, the end of the Bible. Revelation's an amazing book, but there's, you know, there's a song that they sing in Revelation 15, and this is what is sung in heaven. Great, and this is Revelation 15, verse 3. It's called the Song of Moses. Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. You know, there's people singing to the praise of God's glory in heaven right now, and for eternity the anthem isn't going to be, look how amazing we are. It's look how amazing you are to God. And just one final thought about the glory of God in Revelation 21, because this just blesses my socks. Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, that's heaven, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city, check this out, has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Guys, when we get to heaven, we will see God as he is. When we get to heaven, we will see that we just saw such a small glimpse of like God's immense glory and power and majesty down here. But when we get there, we're going to see him as he is. And we're never going to see another sunrise again. It's never going to go down, because Jesus Christ himself, the Lamb of God, his glory is going to mean that it's permanently day, permanently awesome, permanently shining. We're just going to stand there and say, wow, you're who it's all about. And we should be living for that day. We should be living like we want other people to come and join him, you know, that in that eternal praise party. I'm going to pray, and we've got two really encouraging stories that we're going to hear from Ben and from Danny. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear those. Lord, thank you that you are an incredible God. Thank you that you are who you are, and that's enough. Thank you that you are holy and high and lifted up, and you are glorious. And thank you that you don't show us your full glory, Lord, because you're gracious and you and we will be dead. But thank you that you've shown us enough, and you've shown us your Son. And thank you that you saved us so that we can give glory to you. And you saved us, Lord, so that we can shine for you. Lord, we pray that you would help us every day to see things around us that would just make us worship and glorify you. And that you would help us, Lord, to be just wanting other people just to know what it feels like to be alive and to be living as you intended. Thank you, God, that you're such a gracious God. Thank you that you made a way for us to have that life. And thank you that one day we will stand in your presence only because of your grace, and we'll be able to say, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and power and praise. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you this morning. Help us to glorify you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.